All right, Ken, we are live and in living color.
We're live?
Yeah. And right. You know, you sound better than I do doing it this way. And I know you give me that look like I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
It's pretty normal.
Do I get in your truck and tell you how to move your cameras?
That camera. You just panic.
Yeah.
You grab onto whatever you can. You hold on tight.
That's all I got.
And you clam up.
That's all I got to think about is trying to save my life. We got a special guest. He's I hate to use the word old, but you are old and
seasoned.
Seasoned. Okay.
Seasoned.
And I've known him quite a while. It's my brother, the captain, or Bill. Which would you rather us refer to you as?
The guy drinking the beer.
Okay. We got the guy drinking the beer. Now, we're not going to salute you. We might
give you... put that finger down then.
Okay. We might give you the one finger salute.
There you go.
But I've known Bill quite a while, and he is...
Do you remember how long?
I don't. I know it's... I was trying to think that the other day. Since The Rock... Isn't that when we met? Is The Rock 1280?
I was 23 years old when I met you.
Are you kidding me?
No. Nope.
I must have been just a puppy then, because that would make me probably around 30, I guess. 35, somewhere in there. Holy crap.
I'm 57. 24 years ago. No, 34.
34 years ago. Yeah,
that would make me... high-dollar Bayfield education.
Would have made me about
there.
35, yeah.
34, 35 years now.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Wow.
Yeah, known you almost half my life. Holy.
I met you. We were working morning shows on different radio stations.
We
and
were.
Here, 35 years later, we're working morning shows on different stations.
Yeah.
Tell me there's no curse.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking this morning when you... Actually, Bill and I give each other nice stuff through the window, and he sends me nasty messages on the glass. But this morning, he blew me away. Freaking blew me away.
I wasn't quite ready for it either. I was like, yeah, wow.
So, you know, there's like paper up on the glass, and I run my, give him the bird around the paper, right? But I'm ducked behind, and the next thing I look over, and he's going, he's sliding a sleeve up and down. So, but he did find out this morning what a rusty trombone was.
Right.
Yeah, he'd never heard of that either.
Yeah.
Could have gone a lot longer without knowing that.
We got a demonstration on the show.
We did.
Yeah.
We did, yeah. One of the ladies it was a dummy demonstration. I mean, we didn't, it wasn't demonstrated upon us, but.
On the mic, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was on the microphone, actually. And the microphone hadn't been the same since. I had to retire it.
Well, that explains why there were no charges pressed.
Yes, right.
Right.
Anyway, I had asked Bill to come be a guest. He's been a guest on the Wake Up Call last year sometime, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
Before we started working together.
Again,
yeah. But I have a topic for today that I think you both might...
Perfect.
Because I'm telling you, I'm pissed.
Is that our topic?
Yeah, that's the topic. But I am... It's not going to be about, it's related to politics, but it's not political per se. I don't know. It might be. I'll throw it out there. You guys tell me. But we're now out of, right now, there's a lot of those campaigns, and I hear them every day on the radio, as Bill will attest.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, the campaigns for different, and you know, I am.
Political campaigns. Yeah, it's super
political
annoying.
Commercial. And I am sick and tired, and it's been going on since they've been allowing politicians to advertise on the radio for years and years and years. But they talk about they trash the other candidate. That's all they spend their time on, is trashing whoever they happen to be running against. And you know what? That is really rubbing me the wrong, and I'm at the age now to where I won't vote for somebody that has spent all their time trying to, and even if they're not a party affiliate of mine, I just won't do it.
So on election day, you're going to be home coloring the book, aren't you?
Exactly.
Yes.
All of them are doing it.
Yeah, they all do it.
I'm tired of it. I want to see a politician tell me what he's going to do for us. Or what he's going to do when he's in office and use that power.
That's not the job of a politician. The job of a politician is to fight the other party because the other party is destroying everything. And so
destroying
they have
America.
To fight the other party and get reelected so they can continue fighting the other party. It's not to do anything.
What's wrong with that?
Everything.
So you're in agreement, right?
Yeah.
I don't...
It's completely busted. I have no fix for it.
Oh, I do. Don't let them run the ads.
Sort of. Here's what I did. I was watching that over and over again with the two-party system. And I decided that's busted. And it's just the same game being played over and over and over again. And it never changes. It doesn't matter what party is in office. The game does not change.
Right.
It's the same exact game. And so I thought, well, that's completely broken. So for presidential elections anyway, I started voting the third party. Just to see if we can get a third party to get enough votes.
To get in there.
Not to get in the...
Good in the
I've
running.
Never
no.
wanted anybody yeah. that's been running third
no,
party to
but...
actually sit in the White House. I just wanted them to have enough votes to so that their voice is heard at... equal to the other two parties from the get-go.
That's what I meant.
From the beginning.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't know if that'll fix it. I don't really know. But it will mix it up. It'll make it a little more complicated than just us versus them. You know?
Yeah, I know.
I think that does more to address the symptom than the actual disease, actually, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You can vote for a third party if you want, and all you're going to do is take votes away from big party A or big party B that have been in there for 10, 20, 30 years.
It's time for them to go.
My opinion is the Constitution has a remedy built in. It's called the Article 5 Convention of States. Pull the trigger on the Convention of States, and we set forth term limits. You can only serve
Absolutely.
X number of terms, and
yes.
that's it.
Yes.
Whether you are, you know, you can get, say, you get two terms in the House, or three terms in the House, two terms in the Senate. And if you run for president at that point, yay you. But that's all you get. You don't get any more than that. You can't go back and go from the Senate back to the House.
I fully endorse that. I've actually been saying that. Because partly when it comes to presidential elections, it's so ridiculous. It's just a ridiculous, ridiculous game. But everybody gives the president more credit than deserved, and more blame than deserved, because the majority of everything is coming out of House and Congress, and that's really where the problem is. And they don't
have politicians.
Yeah, you have those people that have been in their entire adult life. They've been in office.
And right now, we've got individuals that are in their 80s that are passing laws that my grandson are going to have to live under.
Exactly.
While they're dead in a ditch somewhere.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's not right.
It isn't.
The Constitution or the Founding Fathers did not mean for government officials to make a career out of it for 20,
right.
25, 30. And so now we're looking at 40 and 50-year politicians. That's
right.
not right.
It's not right. No.
And on top of that, you've got bureaucrats that have been in there. I mean, my God, look at Dr. Fauci. He's been in there since Nixon was president. Not a joke. He's been in there since Nixon was president.
That is insane.
So we got bureaucrats that have been in there sucking on the government tit longer than the government officials.
Yeah.
And Supreme Court justices should not be a lifetime appointment.
No.
You get a 20-year appointment, that's it.
Yeah, it should be longer than 4 years for sure because
yeah.
of what they go through.
20 years is good.
Yeah, I think 20 years is great. But it also keeps them on their toes, too.
That's kind of like a generational appointment, you know?
Yeah. Another thing that would help us out, I think, is when these individuals retire. Like, for example, take Mitt Romney. He can retire as a senator. Or he can retire as, no, that's not even a good example because I thought I have him mixed up with somebody else. He's that Utah senator, isn't he? Or Rhino, yeah. DeSantis in Florida. He was a congressman. When he does retire, he can draw congressional retirement. He'll draw retirement from the state of Florida. And if he runs for president, he'll get a retirement as president. So he'll be making more as a retired politician than the owner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Which some people may agree that that's a good thing. Not really a Cowboys fan.
Many years ago, there was a congressman that represented Gallup, the Gallup area, McKinley County. He died in office back in the 70s.
Yeah.
His wife has been drawing his congressional pension since then. She's in her 90s. She never served one day of public service. She's been drawing his congressional pension since the 70s. She's been on government medical care since the 70s. That ain't right. When these people do retire from government office, okay, you, depending on the office you get 6 months pension, you get 5 years pension. If you made it all the way to the office of president, we'll give you Secret Service protection for 10 years. If you outlive that, you're on your own. If nobody's popped you in that time, you're not going to get popped.
Then no one cares anymore.
Yeah, nobody gives a damn.
You know, and you know that is a way, and I have said this all my life, from the time I was old enough to understand somewhat of the politics and politicians, but that's you have to earn your keep. Like, I was in management with Sears, so let's talk about the retail standpoint. I had to earn that keep. I mean, and when I did retire from them, yeah, I got a nice little check, but it ended at that check. I could either take a payout of that for so many years, or I could take a lump sum, and then that was it. It was all, because they, you know, I got back what I had put into them to begin with. So it was, that part was kind of nice. I didn't expect it for the rest of my life, and I was with them 20-some plus years, you know, so I think it's a great idea that we treat it like you do a retail business. You know, you're not doing the job, you're fired. Now, I understand politicians need to be in there at least a full term.
Yeah,
unless,
definitely.
Unless they're do something that is totally, I understand that.
Right.
To start and finish what they, to finish what they started. I understand that.
Right.
But at the end of that term, if they didn't get the job done, they need to go. Period.
Something that was brought up by Reagan that I can remember the first time hearing it is that the House of Representative members should have longer than 2-year terms, because they get elected, the first thing they do is start running for re-election.
Yeah.
They don't really worry about legislation. They let the woman that's been there for 40 years, she's the one that runs the show. The rest of them are just running for re-election, and she's pushing the agenda.
Right.
Well, that's worked out real well, hadn't it?
Yeah, no.
Right.
All right, well, hold that thought, because we are already at break time, which I thought this was going to drag, but we're getting there. Bill, I'm glad I invited you. I was afraid you weren't going to show, and then I forgot.
I'm easily overlooked.
Yeah. Hang tight, man.
Don't touch that dial. Or anything else, for that matter. David and Ken are going to break for just a couple of minutes.
We're here at Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate Golden Door.
Here in Farmington, New Mexico.
Alicia Flores, you work with a lot of first-time home buyers. What do you suggest is the first step in buying a home?
I'm glad you asked that, Julie. The first step, I would suggest that you go see a lender, maybe even up to 3, just to shop around and get the best rate that you can get.
What do you think is a good down payment to save up for?
As low as about 3.5%.
Interesting.
It could fluctuate from there.
And for more information, you can visit our website, goldendorffarmington.com.
Our phone number is 505-325-4153.
Making candles is a huge science, and every different fragrance you use, it may take different fragrance load, percentage, and type of wick that we use, the size of jar. Everything just varies from candle to candle. Fragrance oils, I use non-toxic. All of my candles are made of a coconut wax base because it's clean, it's renewable, sustainable, it's a healthy, eco-friendly type of wax to use, and it burns more slowly than paraffin wax or soy wax. Brand specific, Russ with an E, because it's luxury.
I'm excited to announce a new sponsor and brand new business, Beautifully Blessed Boutique at 405 West Main Street in downtown Farmington, New Mexico. Located inside the Watermelon Seed, they have a huge selection of purses, satchels, and luggage of all shapes and sizes for both men and women, jewelry, clothes, and a whole lot more. Open Thursday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. This is your invitation to stop by and peruse this huge inventory just in time for the gift-giving season.
Now that wasn't too long, was it? On with the show.
We're back.
You be run, I'll be back.
Is that a trombone?
It's a rusty sumbitch.
Yeah, you're going to get an infection.
The way it was dressed, I thought it was a French horn.
French horn.
Did you say? Okay, you said horn, not whore. I just caught.
Yeah, French horn.
Yeah, same difference, right? Uh-oh. Is there a button on there you can let him in? There you go.
I can twist the magic knob.
There you go.
The magic knob.
That's the owner there.
What's up? I'm looking at my keys.
Owner locked himself out. Well, we're talking... Oh, gotcha. We're talking, you know, I swore that I would never talk politics on any of these, but this is, to me, not necessarily. We're kind of skirting around
it. We're talking conceptual politics.
There you go. I'm glad I have you smart guys here to pick out the big words for
me. Don't look at me and use that word.
We haven't, landed on a party or anything like that, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it's just concepts. The whole system's busted. Screw it. Let's burn it down.
And for that, you would need a contraceptive.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know why that came
to
mind.
No more trombones. We need a tuba.
Bragging.
People's focus through all the political spectrum is just, it's not even where it should be.
No.
No.
We've got a lot of problems in the world right now, and they're running around renaming military bases because they were named after Confederate generals, the Hood and Fort Bragg.
And I know this.
If we're going to really do something that's going to have lasting, let's rename the penal system, okay?
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, you know, they tore down a bunch of statues, too, that it's ridiculous. I mean, it's a part of our history. Yes, maybe we didn't know what we know now, but at the same time, it's still a part of our country and our country's history. I guess the one that's bothered me the most was the one down in, because I have a beautiful picture of that I probably could have sold and probably ought to look at selling now, but it's the one from New Orleans where one of the generals, Civil War generals, is on his horse in front, and he's, you know, pulled the back, and the horse is reared back. It's absolutely gorgeous, and there's a big steeple in the back of it.
So was that Jackson?
It might have been Jackson. I don't remember.
He was down there with the... No, that wasn't Civil War. No, I think that was... Jackson went up against the British down there.
Yeah. Shoot, I don't know. I don't know who was in front of it. All I know is they tore it down because it was...
Confederate.
It was, it was offensive to some, you know.
Yeah, but they're awful selective about what is offensive to some.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Because obviously our entire nation was built on hearts and rainbows. So just idolizing.
Wow. The rest of Ken, you know, I hate it when you don't tell us how you really feel. It really bucks the crap out of me.
It's so stupid. There's been so many atrocities done by so many people throughout empire building, the history of mankind. We are one of those empires. And
are we, though?
We are. Yeah.
What part of North America, the lower 48, did the white man take? Just take. What section did we just take that are still here as citizens of the United States, as representing Americans?
Well, it's not quite as simple as that.
Pretty much it is, though. We did not take the Louisiana Purchase. We shelled out money to Napoleon and bought it.
No, we did. We did push aside all of the natives, pretty much.
Well, they were on our land. We bought it from Napoleon. We had the deed.
And the Spanish were coming up, and
they lost a war.
Right. And so we fought them. So we technically took it from them.
We bought the Gadsden Purchase down here so that, you know, we could run a railroad.
Right.
and you know, make the bottom of the United States look pretty decent instead of, you know, a train wreck.
I never thought about it.
My point is, I mean, that's how things are built. That's how things throughout history were determined. That's how borders were set for nations and whatnot.
100%, I agree.
So we're not, you know, we're not any different than any other country on the planet for how we acquired what we have as far as a country.
No, I don't know that the French bought the Louisiana Purchase from anybody. I think they kind of took it. But we bought it from them, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're better landlords.
Yeah, we did make some clever purchases and
better landlords.
Some overpowered pushing out of people we didn't want around.
The way the Native Americans were treated through all of the formative years of the country, yeah, there were atrocities committed.
Yeah, yeah.
But for these people now to stand up and say, you stole our land. Dude, I didn't steal anything.
Yeah, no.
My ancestors didn't steal anything. They bought it.
Right.
You got a problem, you know, take it up with Paris.
Yeah.
Take it up with Madrid.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I was saying it's not quite that simple. There's a lot of complexity in how everything happens.
Start getting into the nuances of everything. Right. What I say just for, you know, entertainment's sake, because
you know,
I'm an idiot.
The thing that gets me, have you looked up the definition of I don't know whether it's native. Yeah, look up not indigenous, but look up the true definition of native. Because technically, I'm a native. I was born here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, that's where the whole thing. I'm sorry my ancestors did atrocities to people. I mean.
Yeah, but we have no control over that.
Yeah, so. I had nothing to do with it. And I'm here. I don't, you know, do you want me to go back where I came from? Missouri?
Do you feel you owe reparations, or that the white person in general owes reparations?
No. And part of it, maybe not a popular opinion, especially with the Native community, if we hadn't have done it, and when I say we, I mean collectively our, since I'm a native of the United States of America, the people who created the United States. Which is a mixed bag of people. But if it wouldn't have been who we now call citizens of our nation and their ancestors that created this nation, if it wouldn't have been us, it would have been the Spanish or the French. It would have been somebody.
And they were doing it amongst themselves. The tribes were capturing members of other tribes, and they were slaves.
Right.
They were, you know, putting
white
settlers and making them slaves.
It doesn't make them any better or any worse or any more of a victim. It just means that they weren't technologically able to keep up with the countries that were vying for this land. Including us. They weren't able to keep up. So, I mean, it's happened all across the world. The stronger push until they reach a border, and that's our border now. You know, that's just right or wrong. That's how it's always worked. And I don't know. We catch a lot of flack for that because we're a country that allows that kind of flack to be caught.
Well,
which is great. Creates a conversation.
I love the fact that we put forth this facade that, you know, we'll take your hungry and your poor and all of that, but then all of a sudden, we don't know what we're doing.
We don't want these people.
Yeah, that's right.
Go home.
Yeah. But what a lot of times happens, though, what they do is load up all their criminals on a boat and send them to us.
That's what Castro did when the Cuban boat lift happened during the early
Florida.
80s or something like that.
Yeah.
He emptied out his prisons.
Yes.
He cut his food bill dramatically.
Right.
And you know, those Cubans have taken over Miami. I mean, I've been there. There's a lot down there. And and you know, I think they've helped the culture. I loved the food, everything down there.
I love the food.
Oh, yeah, it was great. But there's a lot of mafioso down there, too, that are all Cuban.
Oh, yeah.
Do they have Hatch green chili?
No, they do not.
I rest my case.
That's a great then, are they?
Yeah. Yeah, they got a little ways to go to get the Hatch green chilies. But I was trying to think of a drink that they do. Mojitos. I love mojitos. I don't know. And I have not got a decent one since I visited Miami. I've had them. They've tried to make them, but they don't. Most places just don't know how to make a true mojito.
Besides, I ran into that with Moscow Mules.
Moscow Mule.
I haven't had a Moscow Mule.
What is
decent,
he?
Decent
what is
Moscow it? Mule since I left Thermopolis, Wyoming.
Mopolis, Wyoming?
Thermopolis.
Thermopolis. All right, so tell us what a Moscow Mule, because I think I
have
know.
No idea, but it is good. I drink them all night long. But and they come in a copper cup.
Yes, I know that, because I've had them before.
You can have them in a glass, but it, they just don't taste the
They're
same.
They're not the same. You've got to be in the copper cup.
Be in that copper cup.
Yeah.
We should ask Nancy what's in a Moscow Mule. She would know. She's over there doing... I don't know, is she staring at us? I don't know. We haven't said. We are at Traeger's. This is our recording home for Male Encounters of the Life Kind. And we're getting ready to go eat, as a matter of fact, up at the old dog house. That's D-A-W-G, dog. And some really good food. They got sliders. That's one of Ken's favorites, the sliders.
Sliders, yeah.
Their wings are good. I mean, I haven't gotten
bad. I haven't had the wings
bad.
Yet.
Yeah, the wings are really good. Yeah. I haven't got anything bad from there. The nachos, I had nachos last week. Remember?
Really? Oh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you did, yeah.
No. But I think he put extra jalapenos on there.
It's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. So my butt was on fire the next morning, but that's okay. Driving to Durango, you know, squinching my butt cheeks in my...
Was that the morning that your voice was a little louder?
Yeah, probably. Okay.
I had to turn the music up in my studio.
All right, so what do you guys think? Honestly, what's the answer? Is there an answer?
To the
term
to
limits,
the,
I agree with term limits.
Article 5, and from there we can just reset, you know, wipe out a lot of this bullshit laws that have been put in place that mean nothing. Term limits across the board.
Wait, hold on. How did it feel to say shit and on a microphone?
God.
Oh, hey, it's this is a podcast, right?
Yeah.
If you're in radio, your lifelong dream is to say fuck on the air.
Right.
That's what you want to do. I have done it unintentionally. One night on air, something went wrong, and I screamed it, and I went to take my headphones off, and I looked down. The
microphone
green,
was
the
on.
The green button on the microphone was looking at me like, gotcha. The next day, Joe Primrose called me into his office.
Just trying to max it, mask it with stuff. Just, fuck, crying out loud.
Oh, no, it was bold, it was loud, and it was, yeah. And he probably wouldn't have known about it, except for somebody was putting their child to bed at night, and the radio happened to be on as she was tucking the child in.
Oh,
and
crap.
It got her attention.
Yeah, I bet. I was driving, when I traveled, this is back early, early days, like the 80s, late 70s, early 80s. Was driving across Oklahoma, and OU and Texas Tech were playing, or one of the two rivals, right?
Yeah.
And I got the game on the air, right? And the guy is an OU announcer, and you know, and they've been losing, but now the winning, they've got a chance to win. They're on like the 20-yard line, but they got to march all the way down the field and score a touchdown. They give the guy the ball. Have you heard this broadcast? Have you heard about it?
I think I know what you're...
I was listening to it, man, and the announcer's like, he's on the 10, he's on the 20, he's on the 30, and he goes all the way down the field. He's going to... He gets about to the 30-yard line. I guess there's nobody left. He's going to go all the fucking thing! And I'm sitting driving down the road like... And I had been in radio, and I'm like, oh my, and that's back when you had to have a third class license or a first class license or something. I thought, oh my God, that guy's going to lose his freaking
Okay, that's a different story than the one I heard. The one I heard was Oklahoma State and Texas Tech or something like that.
It may have been
the same scenario.
Yeah.
And the announcer was Oklahoma State was probably going to lose. It was. You know, under a minute to go, they were down 5 points and on their own 4-yard line, something like it was inside the 10. And they handed the ball off, and this guy took off, and the announcer's getting excited. He's at the 10, 15, 30, 40. Look at that big run.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
And then it was just quiet.
Yeah.
And then you hear this other voice go, that's a touchdown.
Oh, that, we got to get back to politics. We got to take a break. Oh, my.
We'll be right back. got to take a pause for the cause. Funny, I've always wanted to say that. Sit tight. David and Ken will return before you know it.
Hi, I'm Celeste. I'm from Prager's Bar across the street from the college here in Farmington. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and our full menu at Prager'sBar.com.
I'm Nancy, also at Prager's Bar. We have trivia every Wednesday, and we have different themes, lots of prizes, and we're about to start single every other Thursday.
We have the garage door now, and then we have our full food truck. Got a lot of good food in there.
At Prager's, my favorite drink to make here is an old-fashioned.
5170 College Boulevard, Suite 106. All right, guys, as always, here at Traeger's, it's pinkies down.
Thumbs up.
All right, well, I'm talking today with Tammy. Gosh, Tammy, what's happened in the Encore Coffee Shop?
So first of all, we have a new baker. She also has her own business, Ms. Aztec River Roots. She bakes in our kitchen. Her name is Winter, and her daughter's name is Valley. Very unique things like blue corn raspberry muffins, a lemon blueberry swirl pound cupcake, a serving paninis at lunchtime also with our sandwiches that we have, and we're going to start serving breakfast sandwiches. 315 North Auburn, Farmington, New Mexico. EncoreCoffeeShop.com.
I need some marketing. Who do you recommend?
Ken Collins Marketing.
Well, okay then. I'll probably just get a hold of KenCollinsMarketing.com.
The sea, the back. Bladders emptied, personalities refreshed.
You don't have to use the big words.
All right, gentlemen, we're back live. I'm sorry that I interrupted you right in the middle, but I had to get that out when we were talking about football. But where were we? You were... This is going way faster than I thought it was going to be. Yeah,
man.
Yeah. I was afraid it was going to be somewhat of a snooze fest, but I'm really pissed about these politicians not doing what I think they should do. So you're saying the answer is...
Article
5.
In my mind.
Okay, so explain to me again exactly what Article 5 does.
Well, Article 5 is a trigger mechanism that was built into the Constitution by the Founding Fathers, that if things get out of hand and... way too overdone, convention of states can get together, two-thirds of the states, obviously, and you basically just reset everything, and you can change the Constitution at that point, and we can put in term limits for each branch.
I agree. I'm good.
We can pass, we can make a constitutional amendment that the budget is balanced. You don't spend more than you get. You don't spend next year's, you know, right now the government's already spent my grandson's taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just out of bounds.
You haven't started Social Security yet, have you? Drawing Social Security?
No.
Okay. Well, I have. But, and I continued to pay it before I started buying it because I wanted to make sure that my kids got their Social Security. But, you know, there's a chance that that could go away too. And that would really freaking... piss me off.
I'm about 8 years behind you. I'm 57. You're what?
65.
Yeah.
66.
66? Eh, 7-8 years. You're prettier, too.
Yeah.
I don't expect that I'll be able to retire like you have been able to a degree, because the politicians have got everything so jacked up. Like somebody somewhere is going to have to pay the bill.
Well, that's just it.
The bill is going to come due, and the chinks are not going to pony up the dough again.
Well, I'm working full-time again, and I'm still paying Social Security. I mean, they still take a chunk of Social Security out of my check every week, which I don't mind, because I'm getting some of it back. And they just got a major increase, which I got my check a couple of days ago, and I'm like, holy crap, it went up like $600. I couldn't believe it. That's the largest increase I've ever gotten.
The name Bernie Madoff mean anything to you?
Well, I heard the name.
Yeah. It's funny you said that because I don't really know the history of Social Security, but in my mind, somebody back somewhere did something to turn that damn thing into a Ponzi scheme.
Bingo.
That's why he mentioned Bernie Madoff. Because that's what it is right now. Because I've always wanted, like, hey, give me the option to...
keep it.
No, to opt out. Like, to opt out of Social Security. Just stop taking my money.
Right.
And let me be responsible for my own crap. And if I opt out, then I'm not allowed to at any point take Social Security. Because I've opted out.
You've opted out.
And so, but that would be a really great thing for me to do. But doing that would kind of screw the system. And you know what I mean? Like if multiple people did that, because it's a Ponzi scheme. I need to pay into it so that the people collecting Social Security can get their money.
Yeah.
Because their money's gone.
That's right.
It's gone.
Well, they'll just keep giving people money that should have gone to people that died. I mean, how many people do you know that died before they were 40, 50, 60 years old, before they could collect
their money? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. True. Their children, and beneficiaries didn't get that money. The government kept it. It's a Ponzi scheme.
Oh, it is.
It's a shell game.
It's broken. I still want to opt out of it.
In my opinion, they never should have, because they allowed the government to get in there and take it, you know, and use it. So they never should have allowed it. That should have gone in someplace and left the hell alone. To pay Social Security for future generations, for sure.
Well, it's always the case. When there's a big pot of money, they can't.
Government can't keep their hand out of it. No.
Yeah, that is every 2 weeks, that is a paycheck for the government to spend however they want to, and they've already got it spent for the next 40 years.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. All right, well, I didn't mean to get so depressing, but we're about out of time.
I'm close. Yeah. Almost.
I don't know, you... Bill, you got any last words you'd like to throw out?
I'm out of beer.
Well, we'll get you another beer.
Got you another drink while I was up.
Yeah. Here's the deal. When Ken gets up, when his glass is empty and he gets up, you say, hey, and he knows exactly what to do.
Now you tell me.
Sorry. Well, we'll get you a dog on the break here. But, I guess, is that it? You're just out of beer? So you're not going to give us a lot? Till you get another beer, that's it, right? Should I pause this whole thing, son of a bitch?
Boy, you're just taking this cussing on the air thing to a whole new level, aren't you?
You know, I was hoping, usually we have Julie here that runs sound for Ken and I, but her husband lost his wallet today, so she had to go. But I told her, I said, you watch. This is what I'm going to pull on Ken. This is what I'm going to pull on Ken tonight. I'm like, I'm going to go, invariably says something, and I get it, but I want to make him think that I didn't. I was going to do like this with my finger. Julie, tell Ken what this means. And then she was going to say, he don't give a fuck.
You did just reword that, because when you told me earlier, it was a whole other scenario. He said Herb lost his license.
His whole wallet. Yeah, when I say license,
see, that's a totally different thing.
Yeah, no, he lost his
Losing your license and losing your wallet to have your driver's license in it.
Yeah,
there's two different ideas that pop up in your head.
Okay, well, they're calling all the credit companies to get it canceled.
Holy crap, what do you do to lose his license?
Yeah. Which brings us back to renaming the penal system.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we ought to call it the pussy system.
Wow, he went there with his outside voice.
Yeah, you don't have to hold back here, man. And we put a little expletive at the front of the podcast. This has got
made. Put a little what?
Expletive.
Yeah, say that again?
Yeah, expletive. No, we put a little check mark on the box that says may contain
explicit content.
Exactly. And I have to say, too, we cannot hold Traeger's or the Doghouse or any of our sponsors responsible for whatever may come out of our mouths. And that's also in the the credits.
Hold me responsible. It's all my fault.
Well, I see the band's warming up. They got the trombone out.
Where's the tuba?
All right, kid.
Tuba what?
Any last words? You get a couple of radio guys. You're going to throw out one-liners for us all day long.
Right. Last words? No. On this topic, no. No, they'd be aggravating. I don't have anything clever to say.
Okay. Are you comfortable with the way with my microphone being between us?
Am I comfortable with what's sitting between us?
Yeah.
Sure.
He never asks if I'm okay with him coming into the studio and getting nuts.
Oh, yeah. He has turned me. Oh, I gotta tell it. We're way over time. I don't care. I gotta tell this, but he's turned me on to these smokehouse almonds from Diamond. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. They are wonderful. So I ate half the ones that he had. So I got him a bigger bag and took it in and left it in the studio. But I like telling people. I almost said Sean. Told Chad the other day, I'm like, oh, God, yeah, Bill likes it when I go grab his nuts.
Just showing up work, gobbling nuts.
That's right. All right, any last words, Ken? Did I give you a chance to do that at all?
Oh, you did, but that was my answer. I don't really have anything witty.
Yeah, me neither.
As bad as it is, and as bad as it probably will get, this is still the best country going.
I wholeheartedly agree. I don't know if I ever told you, but Chad believes that we're headed for a civil war of some sort. I had that conversation and it kind of blew me away. I'm like, really?
It's been going on for many, many years.
Yeah. So
I had a political conversation with him once, and that was enough for me.
Yeah, well, you know,
we're from opposite ends of the spectrum, and we will never see eye to eye. He's perfectly okay with the government spending his grandchildren's taxes right now. Well, and that was the end of the conversation for me.
Yeah. Well, I understand both sides. I really do, but. Yeah, I'm with you. I agree. I'm more concerned. I'm not so much worried about myself. I don't have much time left on above ground. But I got grandkids. And, you know, I would like... And you are the same way, right? So, and you, too.
That's my last words. Don't look to the government to solve your problems.
There you go.
Do it yourself.
Yeah, got to do it. All right, gentlemen. Thanks. I appreciate you coming down, Bill.
Hey, let's focus on what kind of world we're going to leave Keith Richards.
Right?